T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Morning show on Sports Radio 910 The Game with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. See Andy and Randy rolling in about an hour from now. You'll have the midday show. Andy, Randy. You know what? I should never try to do that.
Yeah, I that's me.
Yeah.
But it's fine. I mean, you know what's funny, John? You're not the only person that does that, because I met some people yesterday.
Right, the Camu thing?
Yeah, they like that. They like that part of the jingle. So, yeah.
Well, I do too, I have to admit. Yeah, Randy was hooked up with that Camu thing too.
Yeah, man, everybody got a nice bottle. Again, shout out to Derek Hacker and Camu for lacing us with the Camu Extra. Nice bottle, man. Has a nice little stand that it comes with. And, you know, they engraved our names on there. And, you know, it was something that, when you look at it, I mean, I'm just appreciative of the relationship that we've been able to have over the last few years when I first got here. And it's been great. Shout out to Derek Hacker for giving me that opportunity and for allowing me to be a part of the brand for as long as I've been a part of it. It's pretty cool, man. Really cool. Really, really cool.
Well, there was news from Falcons OTAs yesterday, and it wasn't good. I mean, if you're counting, what is it, like day 4 now of Julio holdout and day 3 of Grady holdout, they're not even holding out. It's not a mandate. Somebody, they're holding out. You can't hold out of OTAs. They're not mandatory. They're organized team activities. You're not holding out. You just didn't show up. And Antonio Brown didn't show up. You know, I mean, and he's on a brand new team. He probably needs to start working with his quarterback. I think Julio's. Oh, did he show up day 2? Oh, yeah, he missed a day.
Who was that?
Antonio Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nobody cared. It's just not a big deal. It had nothing to do with nothing.
You know, and I find myself, and I was called out on this, and I don't mind that, but I feel like there are different set of rules for every comes to OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I said on the air that I did not have a problem with Julio missing Atlanta Falcons training camp because he's been here and he knows what's going on. It's not like he's coming into something new. Now, guys, like, because there was some talk about when Odell Beckham Jr. missed his OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
And people were talking about, well, he should have been there. I was like, nah, well, he should have been at those, because that's a totally different thing. That's a totally different animal. New team, new quarterback. And I feel that as a sign of good faith, you should at least be at the first one. Mm-hmm. Should at least be at the first one.
Okay.
And then after that, or even the first one in your first year there. But after that, you do what you want to do. Especially if you have a great season, you do what you want to do. But I think that when you're going to a new team, you should be at the new team's OTAs.
This is the Morning Show with John and Hugh. This hour, the show brought to you by Renter's Warehouse. We're talking about, of course, the Atlanta Falcons and OTAs. There was some news yesterday. Steven Means, who was counted on as being a rotational guy at the defensive end spot, unfortunately suffered a season-ending Achilles injury, and so he is lost to the team. And at the moment, that just means you're going to have to, and short of them bringing in somebody else, see what the rook John Kaminsky, that Division II guy, can possibly give you in that position. You have Vic and you have Tack and you have Adrian Claiborne, and Means was going to be the kind of the other rotational guy in there at defensive end, but he's been lost for the year. So now Kaminsky will get a crack at that. And one of the good things about Atlanta Falcons now with the 90 players they have in camp is that when you do have that fifth extra preseason game, you get a really good look, Hugh, if you're the coaching staff. You got 5 games to really get a look at how somebody might do before Minnesota.
Yeah, you do. And you get a chance to get these rookies acclimated to the speed of the game, you know, the flow of the game and things of that nature. So it's almost like a blessing in disguise to have that fifth preseason game, because, you know, your starters are not going to play that much in probably the first two, maybe the third one. They're going to probably try to stay. Like, I can't see Matt Ryan and playing more than 3 snaps in the first preseason game. They'll probably start it off, and then that's it. Wrap. Kiss the baby.
Yeah, and here comes Matt Schaub, and here comes Kurt Benkert, and whatever camp body they put in a quarterback in that game. No, Ryan will go out there and hand off twice, throw one pass, and then put a baseball hat on.
Yes, sir.
And then he'll probably do that in game 2. He might do that in game 3. And game four, that's kind of the one that's the, you know, the dress rehearsal. And then there's a fifth game that nobody really cares about. That's the game.
That's
that,
the one you either get cut or you make the team.
Right.
The guys that are the bubble guys got to make their stand on that one.
Talking about Matt Ryan, too, was Dirk Cutter. Of course, Dirk Cutter and Matt Ryan have a history. Back in 2012 and 2013, 2014, Cutter was the offensive coordinator for Matt Ryan. Ryan, in 2012, when they went to the NFC title game, had a pretty solid season. I mean, he completed nearly 70% of his passes. This is 2012. And threw for 32 touchdowns. They went to the NFC title game. Lost, and what happened last year was that Matt Ryan's numbers last year were better than that Dirk Cutter year. His completion percentage was higher at 69% to 68. He threw for more touchdowns last year, 35 to 32, and generally had a better, and did it in less attempts too. So generally put up better numbers than he did in 2012, even though the team went 7-9. So had a really good year last year. Now, can he have another great year this year? And Cutter was talking yesterday. One of the few times we've heard from Dirk Cutter as the offensive coordinator of the Falcons about Matt Ryan. And before we play this bite, I wanted to hear Hugh here at Cole, because he had the exact same reaction I did to this soundbite.
Well, I think the thing that maybe I took for granted when I was away is his accuracy. Matt is also now, he's a coach on the field. I mean, he knows the system like the back of his hand, and he's out there directing traffic when he has young guys in his group. I mean, he knows exactly what he wants them to do and what it should look like, and he's good at expressing it.
Yeah. I felt that was a little bit of a shot
at
Jameis Winston.
Yeah, he did too.
Like, hey, they wasn't that accurate. And the fact that he would kind of like be a quarterback, well, obviously quarterback, a leader
right
on the field like he was, it just felt like he was like everything that Jameis actually wasn't. But to be fair, Jameis wasn't as seasoned as Matt was, and, you know, that probably was what he was taking away from it. And then on top of that, you know, the issues that Jameis Winston had to deal with on a personal level probably had a lot to do with his distractions that he had on the field. You know, you just never know. But Matt's been a really good quarterback, and that's why it always, you know, has me scratching my head when people know that I work on the radio and they always talk bad about Matt Ryan, to the point where when you hit them with facts about how his season's been and everything else, and they say, well, he hasn't been clutch. Okay, what is clutch? And then they come with something else when you give them an example of him being clutch. And then they come with, well, he hasn't won a Super Bowl. Okay, he's working on that. He's working on that. And outside of that, what bad can you say about him? Because his numbers are on par with some of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. And when you hit him with that one, then it's just, I just don't like him. So it's one of the things, just if you don't like him, you just don't like him. I mean, that, and that's fine. But you cannot tell me that he's a terrible quarterback. I mean, I'm not trying to hit that.
Last year was not on him, not by any stretch.
It's always on the quarterback, though.
I know, but it wasn't on him. I mean, I understand, yes. He's taken the Falcons to the playoffs six times in his 11 seasons in Atlanta. Of course, he's taken them to the NFC title game twice and taken them, of course, to one Super Bowl that we don't have to talk about. But this will be his 12th season. He just turned 34 last week. He is putting up Hall of Fame numbers. This year, Hugh, Matt Ryan's going to go over 50,000 yards passing. He's going to go over 300 career touchdowns. Both are considered Hall of Fame milestones.
Oh, no question about that. No question about that, John. And when you start throwing numbers like that at people, see, people tend to forget, because we are blessed to live in the Tom Brady era and to see his greatness. But let's not forget, Aaron Rodgers only got one Super Bowl win under his belt. He only got it, but he's considered to be one of the greatest, if not the greatest, by some. That's the measuring stick for athletes nowadays. That's the measuring stick that we're all measured by. I remember getting an argument with a guy a couple weeks ago. First thing he hit me with, oh, you'll never go to the Hall of Fame and you didn't win a Super Bowl. That's fine. I mean, you're right. I can't argue that. But I was in a position to potentially make that happen. It didn't happen. Oh, well. But that's the measuring stick nowadays. The measuring stick is that's the level of greatness you have to achieve in order to be considered elite in some people's eyes.
Well,
got to have that Super Bowl.
You know, I think it's interesting, too, because, you know, if you're a younger fan, I guarantee you that 30 years from now, you're going to go to a game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and you're going to be watching whoever's playing quarterback for the Falcons, because you haven't probably been born yet, and you're going to be watching, you know, whoever's playing quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, and you're going to be saying, man, I remember, you know, Matt Ryan against Drew Brees. And you're going to be, you know, going back to these days about, you know, this is kind of peak between, I'm not sure that we've had, I mean, we had Bart versus Archie, but, okay. I mean, it was sort of the end of Archie's career and the beginning of Bart's. You had a little bit of that. But these two, you know, heated rivals they've never had. I mean, you got two guys that we all agree that Drew Brees is a lock for the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that Matt Ryan very soon becomes a lock for the Hall of Fame. He's got probably going to be 30. He just turned 34. I think what? Five more seasons, you? Maybe six?
I mean, he'll be in consideration, but I'm telling you what would make him a surefire Hall of Fame is win a championship, John.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I mean, but Matt Ryan, I will say this. Matt Ryan will not be appreciated until Matt Ryan retires.
I know.
That's how it's going to be for Matt Ryan.
Right.
You will not – people will not appreciate Matt Ryan until after you step back and you're going to be like – and they probably won't even admit it then. You'll be like, damn. He put up some pretty good numbers. Because you can go look at Matt Ryan's numbers right now and compare them to whatever quarterback you deem is great in your world, and he's right there with them. And the reason why I say whatever quarterback you deem is great is because people look at it differently. But I know what the criteria is when you measure greatness for quarterbacks. That's championships. I'm not talking about championships because he's not in that category right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about numbers. Because outside of the championships that they have, the numbers mean something. You know, Trent Dilfer has a championship, but his numbers don't compare to some of the elite quarterbacks. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, all-time, Matt Ryan is 12th all-time in passing yards. We mentioned he goes over 50,000 this year. He's going to pass Fran Tarkenton into 11th.
Who's that? He's a Hall of Famer.
Yep. You're going to pass Warren Moon into 10th.
Hall of Famer.
And he could pass John Elway into 9th this season.
Hall of Famer. And that's what I say. When I talk about Matt, if you don't like him, that's fine. Can't argue. I cannot sit here and defend you not liking Matt Ryan for whatever reason that may be. But I can defend numbers all day. I can give you facts that could back up my argument all day when it comes to that. Now, you could sit here and say, well, he isn't clutch. Okay, what is clutch? Now, that's something I can't argue because clutch might mean something different to you than it does to me. And you can argue Super Bowls. Can't argue that conversation. You win that one. But when you talk about the numbers that these guys are measured by, Matt Ryan's numbers are in comparison with those guys that you might consider elite. He's right there. So that's where I measure him at. And if you want to say, well, in some games he does this, that, or the third, or he doesn't. Okay, that's fine. We can argue that. That could be a nice conversation to have. But at the end of the day, Matt Ryan's numbers are comparable with those guys that you consider elite. And that's the argument that's what he's gonna be measured by. Ain't nobody the big fella that runs the Hall of Fame, he ain't gonna sit up there and they're gonna debate whether or not, oh, well, you know what? Then again, they might. But they're gonna be like, they might. Well, he wasn't clutching this game. I just thought about that because right, I don't know what the criteria is for the Hall of Fame.
Right.
But if you're just looking at numbers, yeah, he's right there.
Yeah, nearly 5,000 yards, 35 touchdowns when he was under assault last year with a broken offensive line and no running game. How about that? I find that impressive. What you're going to find impressive is to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
basket. B-A-S-K-E-T. Basket, as in basketball. Basket to 72881. Message data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Complete rules at 929thegame.com/rules. Basket, B-A-S-K-E-T. To 72881. That is the national signing bonus code word of the hour. Basket to 72881. Hopefully you win $1,000. If you do, let us know. Love to hear from you if you win $1,000 by texting basket to 72881 and go get them, all right? Make your holiday weekend even that much better. John and Hugh on the morning show at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up in about 8 minutes, nine minutes, Joe Patrick, our Braves reporter, is going to be joining us and we'll be talking a little bit about Braves. Dirk Cutter, as the offensive coordinator, reunited with Matt Ryan, sort of sparked a little bit of conversation about Matt because Dirk Cutter saying he forgot just how good Matt Ryan was in terms of accuracy and just how much of a team leader, field general he really is. And again, that was a little bit of a dig at what he had down in Tampa. But let's not forget, what he had down in Tampa was Jameis Winston. Well, he had Fitzmagic for a while. Remember that? And then he had Jameis Winston. And you know who had the number one offense in the NFL? Yeah, Tampa. With those guys. So, yes, I'm a little bit excited about what could possibly happen with this offense. If the offensive line is, in fact, rebuilt, that's what I'm saying. Why I think that you should be very bullish on the Falcons going into this year. Joe Patrick going to join us. He's going to be in studio. We'll talk with Joe next, our Braves reporter, about what the Braves face tonight and in St. Louis. And the red-hot Austin Riley and more with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com. Right now with CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
This Boomer Esiason with the CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's. Your adventure starts here. Today's birthday shout-out goes to Aaron Donald. The Rams defensive end didn't wallow in February's disappointing Super Bowl 53 defeat, but Donald's six-year-old daughter wasn't pleased. She was sad, honestly, he told InsideHook.com. She cried because she wanted to be on the field with the confetti, and I had promised her that, but we didn't come through, and we didn't win. I let her down, but that's just giving me extra motivation and pushing me harder to get back there. I have to keep that promise that she'd be on the field with the confetti with her dad celebrating. So after 4 days off, he was back grinding in the weight room. Happy 28th birthday, Aaron. And next hour, I'll tell you all about Donald's truly impressive gift, the one he just gave. I'm Boomer Esiason.
Check out the Go Outdoors event and sale at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's with huge savings on great gear for camping, hiking, paddle sports, boating, fishing, and more. This Saturday and Sunday, bring the kids for free crafts, workshops, giveaways, and free fishing at our catch and release ponds. Plus, all law enforcement, firefighters, and EMS personnel will receive a Hometown Heroes discount. In-store purchases only. Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
The Home Depot has easy-to-follow instructions for assembling your new grill. Step 1. Let us assemble it and deliver it for free. Right now, buy any grill over $399 and assembly and delivery are free. So you can spend your time enjoying your new grill instead of assembling it or even getting it home. Today is the day for doing, with free assembly and delivery on all grills over $399. Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through July 5th in store only.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92 again for the Kia Studios on this very busy Thursday, 3:45 this afternoon. Braves and Giants, last game of a four-game set. If the Braves could take it behind Kevin Gausman, they'll take 3 out of 4 from San Francisco, which doesn't sound like much because the Giants aren't necessarily a great team. But, Hugh, we talked about it at the beginning of the week about how San Francisco, is, and we talked about it with Chip Carey, for whatever reason, over the 54th Atlanta Braves season, has been a bugaboo place all time for the Braves. They can never win there. So to go and take 3 out of 4 is like, hey.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. I mean, you know, anytime you can win on the road, I think that's the most important thing. Win more than you lose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I always look at it when you go on road trips. Bring home more W's than L's, and you got a shot.
Our Braves reporter, Joe Patrick's in the studio. Morning, Joe.
Good morning. Nice to finally be here in person with you guys.
Yeah, it is great to have you here. So, I mean, this team, again, we were going over some of the stats. I mean, they're suddenly a leading hitting team in the National League. Now fourth in home runs because they've been hitting the long ball like crazy since Riley came back up. And his numbers are just insane. Acuna's hitting. Freddie's hitting. We were waiting for this, for all these guys to start hitting at the same time, and it looks like they're about to.
Yeah, I mean, Austin Riley's made such a huge impact to this lineup. And when you look at, you know, he's replacing Ender Inciarte, who is a gold glove center fielder, right? So, you know, there's no denying his ability in the field. But I think we're really seeing the rewards that the Braves can reap from having another big bat in the lineup with Austin Riley. Obviously, he was tearing it up, hitting about a home run a game for over a couple week, 2-3 week stretch in Gwinnett. And we're seeing how effective that can be with the Braves lineup right now. I mean, it really makes it super deep, and there's not really an easy out until you get to the pitcher spot now.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And Austin's a pretty big dude, too. But I'm curious, oh, yeah. Joe. I'm curious. How do you watch baseball? Because I've been here a while, and we talk baseball a lot. And the fan base, it's up and down. It's like a roller coaster ride every day with this team. I'm just curious. When you watch baseball as a whole, especially these Atlanta Braves with the wars that we see that they have, how do you take it all in, and how do you evaluate this team on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so honestly, I don't really do it on a day-to-day basis. What you were just talking about, when you go on a road trip and you try to, you know, win more games than you lose, you try to come back with a winning record on the road, that's kind of how I take it, as every series is kind of like a game. You're playing against one team for a certain amount of time. You're hoping to win that series. And if you can keep on winning, you know, many more series than you're losing, then you're probably going to be in the playoffs or at least in contention for it. So that's how I like to look at it. I look at it over the stretch of how the Braves played a specific team. Because I feel like that kind of gives you a better idea. Because, you know, in baseball, you're running, you know, you have multiple starting pitchers going out there. So just because your ace, you know, dominates one day doesn't mean your team is great. Just means you had an ace that dominated that day. So I like to look at it a little bit more holistically, you know, in terms of just looking at a little longer span of time. I think it gives you a better perspective.
With that being said, the biggest issue that we've talked about for the last couple of weeks with the Atlanta Braves has been this bullpen and the shuttling of players coming up and down and trying to find the right group of guys and everything like that. With this small sampling size that we have right now, 50 games in, how do you see this bullpen shaping up, or how do you see them as presently constructed?
I mean, it's improving, right? I mean, it was really, really bad at the start of the season, and I think we're starting to see some improvement. You have guys like Sean Newcomb, who seems to be finding a role there. Tuki Toussaint now is in the bullpen. It looks like he could be there for some time, and he looks good there. And you have a guy like Luke Jackson, who outside of, you know, a few bad appearances, don't get me wrong, he's been very good. He had a scoreless inning streak of like 15 or 16 innings at some point this season. So I think you're getting a lot more out of him than you expected. And also some of these guys like a Jerry Blevins, you know, some of these guys who are meant to be filling pieces are actually performing pretty well. It's just that closer spot that they really don't have locked down yet. And, you know, John Smoltz went on with Andy and Randy yesterday and talked about, you know, the importance of a closer. And I think that it's what he said about, you know, having that experience. It's not just about the stuff and the closing role. It's about having the experience to draw from when you're in that position that the Braves just don't really have right now. I think that that's that kind of that missing piece to the bullpen right now.
Well, we're about 9-10 days away from the Kimbrel sweepstakes to take place. And I know that Smoltz also talked about the fact that I take that back. I think it was Murphy talking about the fact that he believes – that the Braves will talk to Kimbrel. You can't let him go to the Phillies, in my estimation. What is your sense of kind of the buzz around the team right now? And when talking to, like, other reporters, I know the team itself is not going to talk about Kimbrel,
right,
but, you know, amongst the media and some of the other people, that are they really going to make a serious effort here, or are they just, you know,
making
a phone call?
What I've heard from some whispers is that, honestly, the Braves are not as high on him as maybe some of the fans are. I think that he's more of a fan favorite than what the Braves see out of him. And that's what I've heard is just from a talent perspective, I think that they feel like they can get better talent. Despite Kimbrel's stellar track record, I think they just think that his stuff, especially what he's shown in his most recent past, is kind of, they're just a little bit wary.
Wait, what is that? They had 42 saves last year.
I know.
But he has some
42.
Issues.
42?
He didn't.
Well, Luke Jackson doesn't have issues.
I do this.
He's got like this every two day. Saves.
I do this every day. Wait a minute.
He goes to Philadelphia and lights this up and costs us. That is going to be... there's going to be hell to pay from the Braves front office.
Yeah, and I know the Braves won't want to get him on a long contract. I don't think many teams will. So that's another aspect of this is it's not necessarily the money that someone will pay, you know, this year or even this year, next year, but it's how much is someone willing to pay in the third year. You know, it's that's the kind of money.
Who cares about the money? They've got plenty of money. There's no salary cap. They're making a bazillion dollars. My tax money's building their damn stadium.
That's what he's mad about. See, he's mad about that. He helped build the stadium. But before my partner cut you off, Joe, you were making a point about Craig Kimbrel and the reason why you think that he might be sitting out there. Could you get back to that? Let him have the floor for a minute, John.
All right. Yeah, I mean, again, from what I've heard from other people, not
just to prove.
Is that the walks have been an issue for the Braves. I think he's been a guy who has dealt with those issues in the past, and I think that, you know, just when it comes to the whole scope in terms of what you're getting versus what you pay for, I think that the Braves might feel like they have a better opportunity in a trade.
Okay, well, good. They better make a big, bold trade. Look, all I know is if you sit on your wallet and when you have an opportunity with the best offense in the National League, probably the best defense in the National League, brilliant young starters, if you have a chance to win the division and maybe make it to the World Series this year and you don't take it, all right, we got a problem.
I mean, the Braves aren't the only ones with this issue right now, of course. And John talked about this. John Smoltz talked about this yesterday again in that interview, talking about how it seems to be a systemic thing going through baseball where teams don't really value bullpen arms, or they want to try to move, you know, starting pitching arms into the bullpen to try to maximize the value versus what they're paying for them.
And that's what I was going to ask you. It was a two-part question.
Sure.
Number one, when you're talking about making a trade for somebody, who do you think would be a potential trade partner? And when John Smoltz was talking about that yesterday, do you feel like, as far as getting guys experience, do you feel like with the guys that we have in the bullpen right now, like Sean Newcomb, Tuki Toussaint, is that that's the best way to try to build is through that bullpen and get these guys the experience?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've talked to Max Fried about it several times this season. He always credits his time in the bullpen as to why he's being so successful this year as a starter, just in terms of the mentality, getting his mentality right, thinking more short-term, focusing on that specific batter that you're facing, what you have to do as a reliever, helped him get in a better place as a starter to make more competitive pitches in every at-bat. And you know, I think that that's something that could help a guy like Sean Newcomb, who has had struggles in the past locating his pitches. And he has seemed much more effective. He seems like he goes in with a job to do to get three outs, and then he's done. And I think that, you know, that the Braves see the value in that. I don't think Sean Newcomb's going to be a bullpen arm for long term, but I think he can help them in the short term. And yeah, they'll find a trade partner with someone who's dropping out of the race who needs to rebuild.
Well, they got Swarzak. All right, good. I mean, for whatever that's worth, I know. Joe, I'm not coming at your neck. Joe Patrick is our Braves reporter.
Well, you kind of are, John.
I'm used to it.
Talking about. I mean,
You walk into a room with two Braves fans, one of them's going to get mad at you.
Well, no, definitely. Yeah. And that's why I understand it.
Not at you. I'm just mad at the situation. It's just like, you know, I got to see that you're serious. That's what I'm trying to say.
And I think part of the problem is this. Just like listening to the fan base, looking at my Twitter feed and everything, we were promised a bunch of moves to be made. They didn't make them. Then they said, we're going to make moves in season. Haven't done them yet. I think that's the biggest frustration with fans, is because we're looking at this team and we feel like they're on the cusp of being great, and nothing has been done yet.
Yeah.
And why do you think that is? Is that because more so you're focused on trying to – because all I heard all season long was how you have this this abundance of young talent. Is it more so because you're trying to give this young talent an opportunity to come up and be productive? Or you just don't want to spend money? Which one do you think it is?
No, I mean, I don't think it's just a pure reluctance to spend money. The way I kind of see it is, it's like poker. You know, you're sitting at a poker table, mm-hmm. and you know you want to go all in at some point. You know you want to kind of gamble and push the chips in, but you got to find the right time. You don't want to do that when you have a bad hand. Obviously, the Braves have a good hand, but they're trying to figure out when's the right time to do that. And I think that you could look at that analogy long term over the course of several years, and you can also look at it over the course of a season. I don't think that the trade market was there for them at the beginning of the season. It hardly ever is. You know, every team feels like they have a chance to win. The longer the season goes, more teams drop out. You find that there's more, you know, paths you could take to
more
try to
pieces,
get you.
Yeah, more exactly. pieces will be available.
Exactly. So there's just more opportunity for them later in the season. But, of course, you know, the later in the season you go, the bigger risk you're also taking by dropping out yourself. So it's, you know, it's just a
that
fine
makes
balance.
Sense. That kind of makes sense, and that kind of goes along the lines. I'm trying to make my partner, John Freaky, feel better, because you look at it, you give me that dead face like I'm not trying to hear that. But that kind of makes sense, because when you look at the NL race right now, John, we're talking about the Braves are 1.5 game behind the Phillies.
And if we had a closer, we'd be 2.5 games up.
But this is how I look at it. To his point, if you can stay in that hunt and stay right there, stay as close as possible, and other teams start to drop out, you might get somebody, you might get a better closer. You might be in an opportunity or a position to get somebody that's even better.
You might.
And you know, with
and
Ender,
you might not.
With Austin Riley playing the way he is, and you can take Ender and a couple other guys and
whatever you
them.
Do, you better be right.
Yeah, that's the thing.
For sure.
That's the thing.
Thanks, Joe.
Yep, no problem.
Atlanta United fans, 92.9 The Game's official watch party for United and Real Salt Lake tomorrow night is at Fado in Buckhead starting at 8. That's Fado Irish Pub in Buckhead starting at 8 for the official watch party for the Five Stripes in Real Salt Lake. When we get back in a moment, see what's coming to Atlanta? I didn't know this was back. I just missed, of course, didn't surprise me, I missed it. We'll do that next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
You remember this song back in the day, John Freaky?
Was this song a hit after 1989?
Yes.
Then no.
John Freaky. Do you know, like, I didn't know if this was a real thing or not, but I was looking at something yesterday. I was watching a little excerpt from Sister Circle. Shout out to Sister Circle. Shout out, you know, to my source, Lena Johnson. But they're bringing the Freaknik back to Atlanta, John Freaky. And I don't know how many Freaknicks you've been to in your lifetime, but I'm pretty sure at CNN you probably covered a few with the traffic being.
Well, I mean, it was all around you.
Yeah, with the traffic being the way that it has been. But they're bringing the Freaknik back to Atlanta. Now, I find this fascinating for two reasons. Number one is I want to know what that's going to look like in 2019 because it's changed so much and kids have changed so much. Everything has evolved.
Was Freaknik, I mean, that was like Piedmont Park, right? I mean,
no, that was the city.
Well,
that
I mean, yeah, but I mean, wasn't the core down at the park? No, it just everywhere.
No, it was everywhere. I remember being on the street. Like,
yeah, well,
in 95.
There were so many people, it was ridiculous.
That's what I remember, John. I just remember 95 just coming to Atlanta and not having a place to stay, number one, and just jumping out the car and just walking around the city. There was so much traffic.
You tell me 300,000, 400,000 people are going to show up now?
I don't know. That's the thing. And not only that, when I think about some of the people that came and some of the pictures that were taken, there's probably a lot of moms out there hoping that those Freaknik pictures do not surface.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a party.
It was a wild time. Like a friend of mine, and I know that some people feel like those, you know, those Polaroid pictures, they last for a long time. So don't get it twisted. Moms that have changed your life and dads too, who were doing kind of wild stuff.
I hadn't thought about that. This would be a Freaknik with a cell phone.
Yes, it will be.
Oh, yeah.
And the pictures will. But John, I was looking at a friend of mine. He has some old Polaroids of Freaknik pictures. And the only thing that I could think of when I saw the pictures, because they are pretty provocative, is that that's somebody's mom now. That's probably going to PTA meetings. That's probably leading the church choir now.
Well, a lot of
that's carpooling, driving minivans.
A lot of the Freaknik babies would be able to go to Freaknik.
Yeah, they're doing it. But think about, I mean, like, if I could show you, matter of fact, I might try to bring them tomorrow. If I could show you some of these pictures
that were
taken, the only saving grace to some parents is that those Polaroid pictures were a little blurry. Mm-hmm. So you could probably make a strong case that it wasn't you. But some of those tattoos. Those tattoos in the certain area, you can't deny those, man. You can't deny those. And not only that, John, I remember the Freaknik being so wild. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people.
Well, it was out of control at times.
There was a lot of people that moved down here from wherever they were from to go to Freaknik. And this is also probably a good chance to figure out, you know, that parent that you might not have been in contact with for a while because you met somebody in Atlanta at that time.
Well, he's not wrong.
No, I'm serious.
He's
like,
not wrong.
It was wild. Like, listen. I remember, like, those were the stories that you would tell going back to school, how you met somebody, and, you know, you met them, and, you know, you fell in love and were trying to figure out who this person was, but you forgot to get their number or something. So it's probably a little bit of that going on. So this might be a perfect opportunity for people to bring, you know, not just saying women, men, too, to bring, you know, kids to find out, you know, what the situation is or maybe, you know, catch up on with somebody you haven't seen in a while. Because it was a wild time. Like, I can admit that was one of the main reasons why I moved to Atlanta. We drove down, because for me it was, the Freaknik in 95 was right after the NFL draft. And I remember coming to the city and jumping out of the car. Like I said, it was me and my friends. And we had the one guy, like, he just driving around the city trying to find us. We were lost in Atlanta for like 6 hours because there was so much traffic. There was no way that you were going to be able to find your ride. So he's just driving around the city trying to find us, and we're walking around the city trying to find him.
Pre-cell phone, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, we had the small brick phones, but at that time, you know, to use the phone, it cost you a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It cost a lot of money. So basically, we just kind of waited around. I'll never forget, it was like 7 o'clock in the morning when the traffic started to die down on a Sunday because everybody's getting ready to go home. And he found us like walking down the street, and we jumped right back in the car and drove right back to Ohio.
Well, the only thing I could tell you about, you know, the possibility of Freaknik returning is that if Freaknik returns, I won't have a baby. But if the Braves let Kimbrel go to Philadelphia, I'll have a cow.
You'll have a cow. I still feel like there's a reason why Kimbrel's out there like that. And I know part of it is the money. I know part of it is the money.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they make a lot of money. But the city shut it down, Hugh. I mean, the city shut it down.
Wait a minute. Are we talking about Kimbrel or
– Oh.
Wait a minute. I thought we transitioned to baseball.
Right, but the Braves
sorry.
Shut it down.
Yeah. We got that. Those are two heck of a worlds colliding at this point, John. We were just talking baseball a few days ago.
Reliefnik.
Yeah, Reliefnik. Yeah. Yeah, that you kind of went on my head with that. But anyway, yes, this Freaknik, I'm hearing, is going to be more of a concert than anything. I still don't know what that's going to look like because the whole Black College Weekend thing was being, you know, going to Morris Brown, going to Clark Atlanta, hanging out there, going to Greenbrier Mall, doing things like that, doing stuff that was Atlanta, hanging out at the Underground.
Well, there's a whole bunch of kids at Morehouse that don't have no debt no more.
Yeah, they're winning.
Yeah,
they're winning.
They've got some cash to spend.
Yes. They're probably going to go back to school. Knowing those kids over there at Morehouse, they're probably going to take that clean slate that they have and go get some more education so that they can make some more money. But, yeah, Freaknik's coming back. It's going to be a concert. That's going to be something different.
So it's going to be just a concert. It's not.
Yes,
like,
it's not going to be like that. But it's you know, the username Freaknik, a lot of people probably think about riding through the city and things like that. As an older person now, I don't want to have to deal with all that traffic. Like having to come to work, yeah. I definitely do not want to deal with all that traffic.
Or the noise.
Yeah. So I hope that they keep it to a minimum.
Because it's loud. That was the one thing I noticed. I walked out, because you talk about it. I went down to CNN. I walk out on the balcony. Well, there's a breezeway, okay? The noise at like 10 o'clock at night was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, the noise.
And you were right, John. They said it started at Piedmont Park.
Yeah, that's
but
what
it
I thought. It started at Piedmont, and then it just spread. But, because my first remembrances was, you know, the park in Virginia Highlands and, you know, this area of Midtown, right where we're at 14th and Peachtree, was you avoided Midtown. And then all of a sudden, we're down at CNN Center going, okay.
Yeah, you know what my man Jab Johns told me? He said, mamas? He said, most of the women that were at Freaknik are grandmas. That's even worse.
Yeah, that's worse.
That's even worse. To know that your grandma was taking those Thotapalooza pictures and doing some of the things that she was doing.
So keep that in mind if you're going to go.
Going to be kind of wild. But it's going to be kind of exciting to see all the wild people, individuals that have gray hairs now trying to relive those Freaknik days. That's going to be pretty interesting.
Braves coming up. Oh, one thing to keep in mind with the Braves game today at 3:45 is that the Kevin Gausman is going to face Madison Bumgarner. Now, there's talk about Madison Bumgarner being on the market. Well, the Diamondbacks are now talking about Zach Greinke being on the market. And so, because you get 50 games in and it doesn't look like you're going to contend, then teams are – so now Bumgarner has the Braves on a no-trade list, but he's kind of from this area of the country, and you wonder if he might change his tune on that. And would you want to explore Madison Bumgarner being part of the Braves? Because if you don't get – this is where you have to be right. If you're not going to get Kimbrel and he goes to the Phillies or the Twins or someplace else – you better find a closer because if you get Bumgarner, maybe you can just turn Sean Newcomb loose in the bullpen like you have and say, okay, you're the guy.
You know what? And that might be what they're trying to do, John. But to your point, they better get it right because you have to stay pace in the race. That's but basically in the race for the NL East, you got to stay pace, the race.
Who's coming up top of the hour?
Andy Randy. Coming up next.
Sports Radio 90, John the Game.
Now, your game time traffic.
I'm Stephanie Stalwart through the Game Time Traffic Center. This update sponsored by Georgia Lottery. Still working 285 South over, trying to get down toward Memorial, that tandem tractor trail that ran into the woods. Still trying to get the last one out of the woods there. Affects your right lane there just a bit as you head that way. Sluggish both directions. Emergency road work as you head 285 North on your east side. As you make your trip up toward Glenwood, so watch for that. Had the stalled vehicle further ahead on 285 North as you head toward North Lake Parkway. Busy downtown connector both directions, getting to and from your downtown exits, 85 southbound. I had your share of issues out there this morning. About a 50-minute ride time now. Sugarloaf Parkway, 85 south, getting all the way down toward the downtown connector. The latest crash there was down around Georgia 400. $2.3 million Jumbo Bucks lotto ticket was recently sold in Cleveland, Georgia. What would you do with an extra $2.3 million? Play Jumbo Bucks lotto with jackpots starting at $1 million. Drawings every Monday and Thursday, only from the Georgia Lottery. From the Game Time Traffic Center, I'm Stephanie Stallworth on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Andy Bunker here.
Hey, it's Randy McMichael from The Midday Show.
Thursday at 10 a.m., we'll react to all the great stuff John Smoltz told us on our show.
And what an interview it was.
Brian Jordan joins us at 1:20, as always, as well.
That and a whole lot more fun on Andy and Randy at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.